Just imagine your frustrated four-year-old calming her own anger with a few simple breaths. Or maybe picture your fourth grader visualizing an ice blue pillow to cool his hot headaches. Or maybe your worried 11-year-old improving her concentration by consulting a personal wizard to help with homework. Welcome to Grandparenting Today. This is Sue Zimmerman. We're here in the Cromer Mashburn Family Studios. The local number, if you'd like to join us with a comment or ask our guest a question, is 772-9658. Outside the area, 1-877-772-9658. Dr. Charlotte Resnick is my guest today. She is a nationally recognized child educational psychologist and associate clinical professor of psychology at UCLA. She created Imagery for Kids, Breakthrough for Learning, Creativity, and Empowerment, which she has used with thousands of children, parents, professionals for more than 25 years. Dr. Resnick is a consultant, counselor, healer, and maintains a private practice in Los Angeles, California. Her book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success, will show you how to empower your child with easy, effective, and creative skills for surviving and thriving in a stressful world. This indispensable guide provides 9 simple tools to help children cope with stress and anxiety by tapping into their imagination and accessing their own natural strength and confidence. Welcome, Charlotte.
Oh, I'm so happy to be speaking with you this morning.
Well, thank you. You know, as I introduced you, I'm thinking we could all use empowerment to relieve stress and anxiety and break into joy and success.
Very much so.
Oh, so all of us. Yes, it's really a special book. And again, for those of you listening, thank you for joining us on Grandparenting Today. The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. Let's begin, Dr. Resnick, with you stated in your book that growing up today is harder than ever. How do you balance kids' need for good self-esteem with maybe the concern that it might twist into narcissism, you know, that only thinking about me, how about me kind of thing?
I know that's come up a lot over time. There was a book recently written about that, you know, what's happening to our youth. Mm-hmm. But when I think of, you know, narcissism comes from, you want to it comes from actually being very insecure and then boasting about yourself and having that bravado. We want kids to have a good, solid inside where they not only feel good about themselves, but to me, self-esteem is really connected with responsibility toward yourself and others. So it's caring about yourself, loving yourself enough to also care and act lovingly toward other people. Mm-hmm. It's not just me. It's really realizing that we're all connected.
Yeah, a big difference. And I think that we do need to distinguish that so that I look at my grandchildren and I want them to be self-confident. I want that inner self to be strong. But sometimes I'm concerned, and their parents work on this all the time, because the world says to them, what about me?
Right. You always have to balance that with helping
right.
others.
That's right.
And exposing them. You know, they could be helping, you know, the typical things of the soup kitchen or mm-hmm. going to a nursing home mm-hmm. and, you know, reading to, you know, for a little older, reading to the people in the nursing home. Or there's so many activities that you could do to help others mm-hmm. that if you start early, even donating their own old toys to home, you know, to shelters.
Yes.
Battered women's shelters or homeless shelters. And if they're too young, you don't want to actually expose them in person to this, the idea of it, and then taking the toys or sending their Girl Scout cookies, donating some of that mm-hmm. to the troops abroad. Mm-hmm. Any of those kind things, acts of kindness all the time. Sometimes families actually keep a kind chart, like what act of kindness did you do today to help someone else?
That's a good idea. Allison told me yesterday, she's 7, and we watch the grandkids once a week, that mm-hmm. there's a Down syndrome girl that she's made friends with. And I think that was very intentional because Allie has a real giving heart. Yeah, so even those kinds of things.
And some kids are naturally giving. You know, they're just empathetic. They're born like that. And others really have to be taught it and practice.
Right, right. What do you mean in your book? You say the answer is to stop looking out for answers and start looking in.
Yes, and that goes back to a balance because we have so much wisdom inside. Even our kids have wisdom. You know, whatever level they're at, they have their own wisdom. And so much we rely on what other people tell us or the media, all the commercials. Mm-hmm. And this is really, it's really important for kids to balance. And so I teach them to go inside first by their breathing. I call it the balloon breath because it's an easy visual. You know, imagine the balloon in your tummy about 2 to 3 inches below your belly button. And when you breathe in slowly, the balloon expands. And when you breathe out, it flattens. And what that does, this is a very old type of breathing. It's a meditation breath. It's a relaxation response from Herb Benson. It's a yoga breath. What it does physiologically is it calms your body down. It lowers your blood pressure. It just gets you into that place where you could tap into whatever wisdom's inside. So I start that with the kids.
Mm-hmm. You know,
even as young as 3, we could do it.
Good, because I'm going to work on that.
And then with teenagers, we call it deep breathing. I don't mm-hmm. have to call it the balloon mm-hmm. breath.
Well, you know, even with, I remember reading with emphysema patients that most of us don't breathe correctly. Mm-hmm. And it's that balloon breath that they're teaching them, you know, with the stomach inflating, not just the
right.
shallow upper breathing.
Right.
So when I read that in your book, I thought, you know, that's the kind of breathing that when I'm relaxing or, you know, in touch with how important breathing is that I try to do. And it feels different to have that inflation.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And I'll start with the kids' eyes open, and then I'll suggest they close their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell them that as much as there is outside, there's that much and more inside.
Oh, that's beautiful.
There's so much mm-hmm. inside, and our kids don't take the time so much, just because we don't even think about it. They're so busy.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they learn to check in with their heart.
Yes.
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 And their gut feelings.
You know, you say that when conventional counseling practices didn't work, that the power of imagination, imagery, and visualization was an avenue to reach children. And I know you just touched on that, but I'd like you to expand on that explanation.
Sure, because this is when I started, gosh, a long time ago in the inner city in L.A., and I was with kids. It was a very dark place and a dark time, and they just weren't going to respond to regular cognitive behavioral therapy or talking therapy. And I really had to find a way to touch their heart,
mm-hmm.
basically to touch their heart and their soul. And so I was able to connect with a lot of people who were working in the imagination field with using imagery, relaxation, which really started with adults, you know, and Carl Symington working with cancer patients, and Bernie Siegel
yes.
in his surgery practice.
I used him when I had a breast tumor. I used that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so then the research with kids started a little bit later, but very similar. And so what I would do with the kids is find out what worked for them based on everything that was already out there in the
yes.
courses and the people I was meeting. And going from with Bernie Siegel and Symington and the others back then, they were using guided imageries, mm-hmm. guided meditations mm-hmm. to relax you and to imagine, you know, with cancer cells or whatever illness they were working with. But what I started to do is kind of make it a little bit more individualized
mm-hmm.
and interactive. And yes, I did do guided imageries, guided relaxations for the kids because they needed that relaxation. It was a good way to start. And even in the book, there are several at the end of the chapters. But more importantly, I kind of put together 9 imagination tools that they could use. And the first, of course, is the balloon breath
mm-hmm.
that they could use to find their answers so that if something comes up pretty quickly, they could go inside and ask questions. And that was much more powerful. That was very powerful for the kids.
I can imagine.
And for example,
go ahead.
One girl tracked me down like 8 years later.
Yes, I was going to ask you to share that.
Yeah. She was like a student body mm-hmm. president at this point in high school, and she still remembers an image from probably fifth grade. She said I was whenever I'm speaking to the kids, you know, the students in the auditorium, and I'm on the stage, I imagine myself on top of the mountain of success.
I know.
Because the idea, that image we went to, was we climbed a mountain, which was like life. You know, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's easier, and to have extra help with you. And so for some kids, they have animal friends that have tools for them, or they have wise people or wizards. With Harry Potter, everyone's into wizards, or a lot of kids are, to help them, to give them the tools to reach their goal, to reach the top of the mountain. And that's what she thinks about, so she feels successful and confident.
Well, I love this book, and I did, with Dr. Weil, I use little angels, and because I couldn't quite relate to Pac-Man.
And right, that was old school. No,
yes.
Right.
It's been a while, you know, probably 25 years ago. But I just visualize those little angels just chopping away at that breast tumor that they had called a hard tumor. And yes, you had to get it out. And when I went to get it out on Good Friday, it was gone. And I just, I prayed too. And it's not just the imagery, you know, but I just relaxed and imagined those little angels just chomping away at that. And it was just going to just pass right out of me, and it would be gone. And it was. And my husband said, well, maybe it really was never there, you know, to the doctor. And he said, oh, yes, we have all the films and all the things. It was definitely there, but she's not going to the operating room. So,
yes, I've heard stories like that before. And in fact, in the mid-80s, I was speaking in New Orleans, and someone came up afterwards, and they told me about a boy who's written a book since. I don't recall his name, but he had a brain tumor that they thought was inoperable. And he used the Pac-Man, you know, because it was a while ago. And after a while, I don't know, 6 months or whatever, he just saw like a white dot. And when they scanned it, it was just had calcified, so his tumor was gone.
Oh.
So it's very, very powerful. Your mind often perceives what you imagine as real. I mean, just a simple level. Think about taking a lemon and cutting it in quarters and biting into it. Immediately, your mouth puckers.
Yes, it just did.
And I have a child now who's going through a difficult medical treatment, and one of the things I do is take kids to a healing pond where they can heal on physical, emotional, or spiritual levels. And when I think of a healing pond, personally, I think of water, different kinds of water. Well, for him, he had several healing ponds, but one was blood. And that was because he had to get a lot of blood transfusions. And for him, it was like cleaning out and healing his blood. So that was very powerful. You'll never, you never know what you know, the kids come up with, so you want to give them the opportunity to create their own images.
Well, as I read this book,
even for simple things, you know, I'm sorry, like for headaches or stomach aches, you know, which is much more typical that we'll find. You know, when I go into a classroom, everybody tells me they get headaches or stomach aches. You could use the same kind of idea.
Mine would definitely stress stomach aches when I was six.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And so many kids I see have... I get referrals from pediatricians all the time with kids with headaches and stomach aches or tics, and they could use their imagination tools to heal themselves, either using color. Sometimes I'll have one girl, I'm thinking of her parents were having a hard time and yelling, and they were eventually going to get a divorce, but it hadn't come out yet, and she was getting chronic stomach aches, and she just imagined this swirling rainbow and breathing that in just calmed it right down. And she just thought of this swirling rainbow whenever her tummy started to, you know, bother her, and it just helped control things.
Yeah, and what a beautiful way that you can work with kids like this, because I imagine many of them, even at an early age, become pretty cynical and under so much stress, whether it is a breakup of the family or a school bully or whatever it is. And you know, the, like you say, the regular counseling practices, the conventional ones, that's not what you're going to do. And to be able to reach them this way is so creative. I'm just loving this opportunity for people to hear about this book. And again, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. You know, Dr. Resnick, I love the statement in that you wrote in The Power of Your Child's Imagination, is to teach you, meaning the children or the grandparents. You want to teach them to teach their child how to fish.
Yes.
You know, teach them how. And that's what you're wanting to happen with this book, For the Food of the Soul of the Growing Self with the Tools of Imagination. And I wondered as I read that, these skills once learned must transfer all through your life to challenges that come up.
Absolutely. They really do. And that's why they could be used at really pretty much any age. You just change the language, you know, based on how old your child is. It's just like you know how to speak to a 4-year-old. You know how to speak to a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old. It just comes, you know, living with them, it comes naturally. So the kids I see are all ranges, and I see it works at all ranges, plus for parents and grandparents. I mean, I had one grandma saying, I'm going to go home and get a wizard after one talk I gave. You know, just the idea that there are techniques, imagination techniques, that you could use to help yourself and be happier.
Excuse me. Do you have a website that we could talk about several times here?
Sure. imageryforkids.com.
Okay, I want to write it down because imageryforkids.com.
Right, right. And it's F-O-R.
And tell me about your recorded CD version of Guided Imagery.
Okay, I happen to have several. I'm fortunate enough to have made several CDs, therapeutic relaxation CDs. And what I did for the book was, at the front of the book, we go through the 9 tools. So there are little scripts that parents or grandparents can use, but I also put that into a CD because sometimes you're not comfortable or you want the music, or I go into that hypnotic kind of relaxed voice. So we have the 9 tools on the CD, and those are great for kids to start out because they're only 3 to 5 minutes each, and they could just practice one of the tools. And then what I did was, after each of the subject chapters about getting along with your family or friends or coping with loss, there are other guided imageries at the end of those chapters, and I put those into another CD, and that's a double CD because it was so much. I mean, there's even about helping kids with bedwetting. And then what I did for the parents, because they're so important and critical, is I made them their own CD, partly from the guided journey that's in the book in the parents chapter, and also adding lots of things for them, lots of goodies for them to support them, because the best way to help your child is to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then separate from that, we have 3 other, you know, totally long CDs with one is Discovering Your Special Place, one is Climbing a Mountain of Success, and one is Creating a Magical Garden and Healing Pond. And those are great to listen to before you're going to sleep because they're about a half hour.
Oh, wow. I'm writing those down so I can get those. all right. Now, what I want you to do maybe is, when you talk about the 9 tools for 8 common life challenges, I know that we don't have time. They need to get the book and read it. But why don't you share a little bit about those tools, and then we'll hopefully have some time to get into how you put those tools to work.
Great, great. So we talked about the balloon breath. That's like it's the first foundation tool. And if you only learn one tool, that's it. Because it really makes a difference in terms of calming your anger down, just calming yourself down. Then we want them to find a special place inside, like a safe sanctuary. And the idea of discovering a special place is twofold. One, it's a respite from everyday life. Sometimes you just need a break. It's like a little mini vacation. But it's also the place that you actually do your inner work, that the kids do their inner work. So they want to go to that place that they feel safe before they think about things that are disturbing to them. So they have some help there. They have support. And then the idea is to kind of bring out your guides, you know, the guidance that's within. And for kids, I do it in a couple of forms. One is imagining a special animal friend, a wise animal that's loving, that has your best interests at heart. And, for example, one girl was having a hard time sleeping at night, and she imagined a white dragon, Valcor, that wrapped himself around her bed to keep her safe.
Oh.
And she put a tiger at the door just in case. Mm-hmm. And having that really helped her fall asleep. In fact, someone was kind of saying, oh, it's just your imagination. How could that help? And she said, hey, wait a second. My fears come from my imagination.
Yes.
So I had to go there to fix them.
Yes. Wow. Okay.
Should I continue?
Yes.
I'm having such a good time.
Well, I am too. It's wonderful.
So once you get your animal friend, Then I bring in a sort of a personal wizard, and the wizard's like a master teacher in human form. So it's slightly different from a wizard, although the funny thing is sometimes you get animals that are wizards. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think of a wizard as a master teacher that gives you more information. And sometimes you need a little extra magic. Like one boy had a hard time spelling. He was getting like, he was about 8, he was getting like 25, 27 words wrong in a spelling dictation paragraph.
Mm.
And so he had a personal spelling wizard, because a wizard could be general, all-purpose, or it could be specific. So his spelling wizard cleaned out his brain, made it really, you know, bright and shiny, ready to learn, did flashcards with him, whispered the answer in his ear at test time. And over time, mm-hmm. over a few months, his spelling got better and better to 3 or 4 errors. And it wasn't like real, it wasn't like magic, but what it was is it built up his confidence.
Yes.
So that he could learn when he looked at his words. He could take that information in. And that made a really big difference.
Mm-hmm. Because that emotional stress just blocks, you know, rational learning or what you know.
Totally.
You just, all of us have probably experienced going in and sitting there and thinking, oh my gosh, I probably forgot everything.
Exactly.
No.
Your that frontal lobe where your logical thinking happens shuts down when you're
mm-hmm.
in fear.
Yes.
So it's wonderful to take care of that in a nice, calm way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you notice that the animal friend or the wizard, your inner guides, give you gifts. And a gift could be something physical, you know, real gift or real imaginary gift, or it could be something they say or something they show you. One little girl was having a hard time at school. She thought the kids were ignoring her, and she had no one to eat lunch with. And she imagined a crystal wizard giving her gifts. One was a star crystal to help her feel like a star, even if her friends were ignoring her. Another was a heart crystal to love herself, no matter what. And so when she had that confidence, she went back to school, and the kids were fine with her. Now, it could have been, you know, we don't know. Kids change every day. But she felt confident enough with these special gifts from her wizard that she would go up to her friends and start to play with them.
Right. Well, she wasn't looking for the negative anymore either.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole shift.
Mm-hmm.
A whole shift.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's really important, another tool is I mentioned earlier, just checking in with your heart and belly. It's kind of like an extension of listen to your heart, trust your gut feelings. So what we're doing is teaching kids at an early age to do this. Even if there was a boy I had was 3.5, which is quite young, actually, for me to see someone. But sometimes what happens, there's a lot of stress in preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And so his belly told him to share at preschool. And, you know, maybe his mom had said that or his teacher, but now it was integrated to himself. So it was really, he really, mm-hmm. really took it in, made it his own.
Mm.
And I'll do that with teenagers all the time, you know, for them to trust their heart. What are their gut feelings saying? Is it different from what their heart's saying? I love the mind. The mind has so much. But when you combine it with your heart and belly, there's much more information.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have heard that people that got heart transplants,
yes.
there's anecdotal evidence, not all the time, but some people that receive another person's heart start to like things that they didn't like before.
I have heard that.
Yeah, so if there's some cellular transfer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and with part two, when you have part two, putting the tools to work, and you show that kind of thing, you were just sharing some of that as you described the 9 tools of how kids use them. So
mm-hmm.
How would you address maybe how someone could work on a fight with a friend or have a grandson that maybe played baseball, and when he was pitching, he felt like he didn't pitch well enough, so there was some anxiety about the next game?
Oh, well, with sports, that is so easy to work with, because we know that all the sports teams, all the Olympic teams, they use sports psychologists or their coaches to mm-hmm. train them in visualization, mental imagery. Everyone calls it something different, but there is so much... so much reported about, there was one girl at the last Olympics said, I've been visualizing getting a medal since I'm 5 years old. And all the young athletes are using visualization to help them. So if you have a boy that's had a hard game,
mm-hmm.
it's great to talk about that, let him know that, and that he could do that too, and you could teach him that as a grandparent, as a parent. Just imagine what's it going to be like when you hit that ball. How are you going to feel? Start there. And then they're going to feel great. They're going to feel happy. They're going to, you know, just feel wonderful. And then you go through the process of having them imagine what all the steps are in that, in hitting that ball or in kicking the ball or whatever activity they're working on. And then they practice, and then they have to really fine-tune it, you know, catch themselves if they're making a mistake, correct it in their visualizations, and then practice either before they go to sleep, before the game, when they're starting the game, and just more and more. I mean, I had one mom teach her, work with her son's softball team, and they won that year.
They
totally won everyone.
Wow. Worked with all the kids.
Yes.
The whole team.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the team won that year.
Dr. Resnick, what's the fast track approach?
The backtrack?
No, fast.
You know what?
Fast
track?
Yeah.
Fast track is learning the tools, and then when a problem comes up in your life, no matter what it is, you go inside, you calm yourself down, you ask for help and see who shows up. Is it an animal friend? Is it a wizard? Is it, you know, a grandparent sometimes and your own puppy dog? And then ask them to help, see what they offer you, what gifts they give you, what they tell you. And then you do a series of questions. If you don't understand, you say, tell me more about that. And so you just, with the kids, it could go very quick after they learn the tools.
I'm talking with Dr. Charlotte Resnick. And Dr. Resnick has written the book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. Her website is www.imageryforkids.com, and it's an amazing book. Do you have a final word for those people out there? We just have a minute left, and it's been a wonderful interview.
Trust your intuition. Take care of yourself. And, you know, I have something in there. You remember what kids most want and need from their parents, the top 10. And so everyone could just get it going to the website, signing up, you know, for the email, any newsletters, because I'm always sending out new articles, and they'll get it instantly. They only have to wait for the book to come from Amazon.
Okay. Well, this is a super book for every parent to have in their library, The Power of Your Child's Imagination. It's written by Dr. Charlotte Resnick. It's R-E-Z-N-I-C-K. And her website is imageryforkids.com. Thank you so much for being my guest today. It's an amazing book.
Oh, thank you for the wonderful work you're doing.
Well, thank you. And you explained it perfectly for all of us. I feel really good about how anyone listening would understand what you're doing and how amazing it is for the kids.
I'm glad to hear that.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Thanks. Bye. We'll be right back after a quick break.